call it. Doesn't it exploit everybody except for what Rothkopf said on this show with his book, the head of Kissinger Associates, that the 6,000 superclass, they get all the power, money, and control, but the rest of the 6 billion, 400 million of us, we get the short end of the stick.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and what comes around goes around. We in the United States were willing to turn a blind eye on the use of slaves, essentially, in sweatshops that make us cheap shirts and tennis shoes. We were willing to turn a blind eye on get us cheap oil, even if it requires destroying the Amazon rainforest. We don't care. Give us cheap oil. We kind of turned a blind eye on that, and we always sort of said, well, of course they're doing the right thing. Nike's not hiring slaves, and Texaco isn't destroying the rainforest. Well, Nike is hiring slaves, and Texaco did destroy the rainforest, and there's a huge lawsuit in Ecuador right now that's going to be won against Texaco. And they don't do the right thing. And, you know, we've gone through this period that really started Milton Friedman, the economist from the Chicago School of Economics, who was deeply embraced by Ronald Reagan, got us on this roll of this, what I like to call a mutant virus of capitalism, which is to say the corporate executives don't need to be controlled. They're some sort of an elite, unlike the rest of us, who never do anything wrong. I mean, we've all got to have laws to keep us from doing, from stealing or cheating on our income taxes or picking somebody's pocket. But these corporate executives, they don't need any rules and regulations. No more rules and regulations. And everything should be privatized. They should be running everything, controlling all the world's resources. And let's give everybody lots and lots of credit. Get people to take lots and lots of credit. Well, I'll tell you, credit enslaves people. You know, if you're a union member and you've got lots of loans, you've got a big mortgage on your house, you don't want to go out and picket. You don't join the picket lines because you want to keep paying for your house so your family has a place to live. And so there's been all these things that were really came up in the 70s and much more strongly in the 80s after Reagan was elected. And they've just continued through Democrats and Republicans alike. God, Clinton was one of the worst. And they have served to put us all in this position that we economic hitmen back in the 70s were doing to the rest of the world. It was so successful in the rest of the world that it's been pulled on us. And now we got to get out of it, Alex. We can do it, but we've got to set our hearts and minds and souls to doing it.
Well, let's look at the alternative, and then we'll get into solutions and, you know, get your expert opinion on the current climate and what you think those solutions and the way out are. But let's look at the alternative. If they continue this process of they're above the law, the private Federal Reserve goes before Congress and says no one can audit us, no agency, no government. If this imperial power is allowed to continue, will we have private bank chairmen wearing crowns and being worshipped? I mean, that's the logical extension of this, is kind of a Hitlerian Fuhrer precept where, well, we saw Cheney and Bush saying, it's not illegal if the president does it. If something's illegal and the president does it, it's okay. And we're now seeing Obama saying, yeah, we're going to continue no rights for detainees. And, yeah, we're going to continue having secrecy in the banking. It's clear the presidents have been turned into nothing but vestigial ceremonial creatures. So if we don't slow this down and reverse it, what will this world look like? What will this superclass who are openly above the law, what will they bring us to?
We'll all be living in Haiti, you know, and it's happening. It's fascinating. I just saw this morning that UN has announced that Bill Clinton's going to be their new UN ambassador to Haiti. Man, that's a fascinating comment right there. You know, we're all, and we're essentially in that position right now. We're living very much like what we used to call banana republics. In fact, those bank presidents are wearing crowns today. They're getting away literally with murder. I mean, they're getting away with stealing and rape and pillage, and they're being rewarded for it, and that continues to happen. So, yeah, we're already in that world, and it's going to get much worse unless we really do something. And I think this economic crisis we're going through ought to push us all in the direction to turn this around. And we do have the power to turn it around. We have the power. The president doesn't. I don't know what's in Obama's mind. Obviously, I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what's going on with the guy. But I do know that he's in a very, very difficult position. And even if he has the very best of intentions, even if he wanted to do exactly what he promised to do in his campaigns, once he gets in that White House, he gets the laws read to him. He gets somebody sits him down and says, hey, remember what happened to Martin Luther King? Remember what happened to Jack and Robert Kennedy? Remember. And Clinton, of course, wasn't physically assassinated, but he had a character assassination. And I think he had the shortcomings of one back in his first term.
And they clearly stay there. They clearly do that to weaken them and make sure they're compromised. And clearly Obama's got a lot of skeletons. That's why they like him. He's also very graceful, very intelligent. And after Bush, it's like people want a president they're not ashamed of. John Perkins, stay there. Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Number one bestseller, new book coming out. We're talking to a gentleman recruited out of college by the U.S. government to work through private corporations to go in and facilitate the takeover of third world nations, predominantly in Latin America, but it goes on worldwide, by economic means. John Perkins, I want to get more into what's currently happening and how this is just expanding and expanding as they gobble up the entire planet. And leave tyranny where liberty was and freedom was and economic freedom was. But looking at the structure, you know, the CIA is declassified. They brag. Other governments do this. MI6 does it. Other intelligence agencies do it. But nobody does it like the United States, obviously. The Russians did it to some extent, using money to get control of the nations. But this program of going into third world countries, paying off their leaders, giving them loans at 25, 30% interest, where $1 billion turns into $40 billion, getting the countries to sign over all their infrastructure, then the IMF World Bank documents where they turn the power and water off to cause a riot, so then society really falls, so the globalists can then buy up their stock markets. I mean, this is all on record, and now they're clearly doing it, not on a regional scale, but on an international, global scale. I mean, this is really a military system where they come in with the economics first, and as you said, back it up then militarily. After the society collapses, that creates the next crisis. They need to bring in the physical control. Can you speak specifically to the IMF riot?
Well, yeah. I mean, probably the best example, the clearest example, is what happened in Cochabamba, Bolivia, a few years ago, when the IMF decided that what it really wanted to do was take control of the water system down there. Bolivia couldn't pay off its debts. And, of course, the Bolivian people at the time were saying, we don't really owe these debts. These debts were taken on by a military dictatorship before our time. We didn't have any say in it. And those guys are all gone now. The banks shouldn't have allowed this to happen. But in any case, the IMF went in, and they dictated that Bolivia had to basically give its water company in Cochabamba, its third largest city, to the Bechtel Corporation, a U.S. corporation. Bechtel went in and immediately increased all the prices of water. Some people had to pay four times what they'd been paying before. The word got out that people couldn't even use rainwater, that they had to pay for that. It was terrible. So there were huge riots. People were dying of thirst, poor people. And they took to the streets, and eventually they got their water system back. And Evo Morales then became president at very much at the same time, and Bechtel kind of put its tail between its legs and left, only because this enlightened president came in at the time. But we've seen that thing time and time and time and time again on all sorts of levels, where in order to forgive a country's debt, and we never really forgive it, we just delay it, usually increase the interest rates. But in order to even make that happen, we force them to privatize their electric utility companies, their water and sewage companies, their prisons, their schools, their mines, their resources, their oil companies, and sell it to American corporations, or sometimes it's European corporations, time and time and time again. And now, of course, isn't it interesting how we're almost seeing a reversal of that process in this country, Alex, where in fact the private banks are in such dire trouble that the government is going in and bailing them out, and it's stopping short of actually taking an equity position where it really has control over them, but it's getting so deeply involved through these bailouts. So it's really socialization of the corporatocracy, of the people that run our big corporations, of the big corporations themselves. We're socializing them, and we've basically capitalized the poor people and all the failures in the country.
John, I see it as socializing the risk, but privatizing the profit, has been said many times, where I really see this as a corporate takeover of the government. I don't see it as a government takeover of the banks, because it's clearly the New York Fed and other private central banks that are running the show globally, they fearmonger, oh, my God, we're in this big crisis. You know, they use the derivatives and all the fiat currency and credit they made to buy up the world. Now that the bubble's popping, they're using that as a way to terrorize people into giving them even more power. And they're announcing on the news a new Bank of the World and –